Hi, this is your host, Ann.
And this is your host, Josh.
And we're here bringing you Sheer Nintendo for the week of April 16th, 2006.
That's right, and we'll be around every week, giving you news updates, a list of upcoming releases, and we'll focus in on a game of the week.
We'll also have short segments on what we're playing or interested in this month, and talk about old games we still love.
Alright, now that we have that out of the way, let's get on to the news.
Since this is our first podcast, we want to bring everyone up to speed on the Revolution, Nintendo's newest console project.
So right now, we know it's been codenamed the Revolution, but many people have said that that's not the name that the actual system is going to have. The release is scheduled for fall 2006, sometime before Thanksgiving, and so far we know that it's going to have some really interesting and new features, although most of them still remain under lock and key.
So I read some stuff recently about how you can download stuff for the Revolution. Mainly old Nintendo games and, like, Sega games. They haven't really said much on how they're going to do the download format. Not sure. I can kind of see it being maybe, like, the marketplace for, like, Xbox 360 or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do with that either. From what I've read, it seems like it's going to be a free service. I don't think it's going to be at least a yearly charge or anything like that, like Xbox Live. But they might charge you per game. Just because of the whole licensing issue and all that stuff.
So do you think that there's going to, like, do you have any ideas on what the premium would be for a game? You know, it would be like $8 to download.
Well, it's got to be something around there. I mean, you can get those games in a used cartridge for, like, you know, $12 or something.
Right.
They can't charge you more than that. You're not even getting a hard copy of it.
But, I mean, you know, you still have to, like, if you were to buy it in a store, you still have to buy, you know, the console to run it on. I mean, can't they kind of say, hey, well, you know, we're providing a service where you can do whatever you want?
Yeah, I think they could, but I think at the same note, because they don't have to really do any overhead except for network maintenance, I don't think that they're going to charge. I mean, the cost of sending a file is way cheaper than making a cartridge. So I would hope that it would be under $10, maybe $5 for an NES game, something like that. But that does bring up another important thing that some people have been talking about, how Nintendo is going to identify you. With Xbox Live, you give them a credit card and ID name and stuff like that. With Nintendo, you tend to get your own ID stuff every time you start a new game, anytime you get a new console. They just kind of identify you by your console ID, and then they give you like a player number and a friend number and stuff like that. I don't know if they're going to start a large, like, you know, system of holding names, getting credit cards from people so you can just download whatever you want, or if you'll have to do it each time you want to download something.
So how's this download going to work? I mean, they haven't announced that they're going to have a hard drive, so where is this downloaded information going to go? Are you going to have to download it to a memory card? And if you do that, isn't it possible that it's easily, you know, I can just go over to my friend's house if he has a Revolution and be like, hey, you know, here's Mario Kart SNES, go ahead and have it. I mean, how are they going to control that? Isn't it kind of like suggesting that you're going to need a hard drive or some sort of memory device to keep these things, and especially if it's going to be a premium service for the game?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of hard drive. They haven't, you know, mentioned a hard drive. In fact, they've said so far that there's no hard drive. But I think to say there has to be at least some sort of flash memory or something. But I would say it's going to be a hard drive. That's just the cheapest way to go for a large amount of space. I would say there has to be something, not only for downloading games, if that's going to be a big thing. I mean, they just recently announced that Sega is going to be downloading allowed to download their games too. And those have to go somewhere. I mean, they're small games from back in the day, but they still have to go somewhere. They can't just exist nowhere. I would hope that, it's not like the DS download stations, where you download it into RAM and then use it while your system's on, and then when you shut it off, like, you lose that game, and maybe after that you just go surfing. I mean, that could be a way to do it.
Well, that doesn't seem very probable. I mean, think about some of these games, like Super Mario Bros. 3. You know, you have a file almost, you know, you can save it and then continue and end. It would just sort of lose the purpose, like Zelda games. What are you going to do when you're done, or your little brother wants to play, you know, Super Monkey Ball? What's going to happen then? They have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a hard drive is pretty much something that's required these days, especially if you're going with optical games. You know, you can't even save onto an optical game. So you either have to go with memory cards or hard drives. And memory cards are kind of easy to hack and all that stuff. I would think that they're going to put some sort of hard drive in there. I'd say that they have to.
So as far as, like, the game format or what the games are going to be on for the Revolution, are we thinking, you know, another disc? You thinking full size? Do we know if it's going to play DVDs? I mean, what capabilities do we for sure know?
Well, we don't know anything for sure. I believe that there's been rumors that everything that's been said so far could be go, you know, either way. They just kind of have like an outline going. I think that it's going to be playable DVDs, at least, just standard DVDs. Mm-hmm. And that would imply that it has an optical drive. And if it has an optical drive, then I would assume that the discs are at least going to be optical. I think that they'll be bigger just because making them smaller just kind of limits the size. Mm-hmm. You know, you can only put so much on there, especially if it's just going to be standard DVD. You'll only be able to throw a couple gigs on there. And bigger games will require more than that.
You know, you hear a lot about, like, the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, like, their processor speeds and stuff like that. And Nintendo, at least for me, I never really think of it as, like, a really fast computer or a fast machine. Do you know what the speed's going to be like? I mean, what can we expect? Is it going to, like, rival the PlayStation 3? Or is it just going to be something, you know, middle of the line? It can play cool games. It can do cool things. But it's not a monster computer.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to go with. They're going with something, as of right now, something that's about the speed of an Xbox. A little bit faster. I think it's a couple hundred megahertz faster. About the same amount of RAM. About the same graphics processor as the Xbox One. Which, I mean, is an older system, but I think that'll keep costs down. And they're not trying to take over the living room with this system. They're trying to make a really cool, unique gaming system that, you know, can do something different and not just show the best graphics in the world. They want to be able to compete, not only, like, you know, get it into every kid's room for a couple $100. I am concerned as the no HD. I think that we're kind of in an HD revolution, if you want to put it that way. And most people are going to have HD TVs soon, if not already. And
yeah,
not
when
supporting,
is that standard coming in?
It's supposed to be sometime next year. I think they're supposed to just get rid of all analog TV signals. I think that not supporting even just widescreen, like at 480p, just standard, simple widescreen, low-end HD, it is kind of alienating a lot of people and really anti-future-proofs your system. I just don't think that standard screen, it's just not the way things are going to be. I'm not saying you need dual HDMI output, but just to be able to plug in to an HD TV and not stretch the screen is all I think people are going to ask for. You know, the GameCube looks horrible stretched. I think that's a big issue, you know.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the Revolution itself. Like, I hear a lot of people saying, and I've kind of read some information on the controller. You know, we've seen pictures of it. We know it's going to be, you know, two sort of, like, wireless controllers that are, like, hooked together. And, like, sort of like a small jump rope, in my opinion. And we know that it's going to kind of change the gaming world. How do you think it's going to change it?
I think it's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. I really like having the fact that you have two separate hands, so you don't have to scrunch your hands together and kind of hunch over. I think that that's a really nice way to go.
It's also gyroscopic, right? So does that mean we're going to be standing and playing games, not just confined to our couches and gaming chairs?
I think that that'll be a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think that anybody that wants to, you know, like that little demo video I'm sure everybody has seen on the Nintendo site, mm-hmm. where people like jumping around and hitting balls back and stuff. I don't think that's how it's going to be for everybody. You'll be able to sit down and just, like, you know, move your hand a little bit to get the same response. If you're really into it, you know, you can jump up and start, you know, beating bad guys to death with your controller if you want.
Well, I think it's really cool how, like, I've seen some pictures where they show, like, the controllers, and you can hold them in, like, two configurations where there's one that has, like, a D-pad and one that has, like, a thumbstick. And the one that has the D-pad, you can kind of hold it in two different ways so that it's either vertical or horizontal. And when it is horizontal, you know, it looks like a regular Nintendo controller, like the first
Nintendo
controller
One, yeah.
that they put out. And, you know, kind of like a Super Nintendo controller. I'm not sure if it has the L and R buttons or the X and Y, but it, you know, you look at it and you're like, wow, this is like a white Nintendo controller.
Yeah, Yeah. I think that's just to make I think it's just cool, no. You know, like showing that they're still retro and all that stuff, but they are moving forward at the same time. But also, I think it mainly for
mainly to show that you can play, you know, the older games,
right, the older games
in their true form.
And that brings us to, you know, what other controller options will be available.
Well, I'm hoping that they do the whole Game Boy thing again, because I mean, obviously I have a GameCube, I have an SP, I have a GBA. I played Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, and I played it with four people, and we all had GBAs or SPs, and we used them as controllers. And I am really, really pushing for that to be an option for the DS with the Revolution. What do you think about this? You think it would be cool? I mean, it's got to be, right?
Right. I think it would be beyond cool. I really, from the little demos of Metro Prime that I've played, I really think that the DS as a controller is a way to go. The analog ability of the touchscreen, to me, is much better than any analog stick.
And that's interesting. I mean, I know that, you know, you've been a big computer gamer in the past, and you use the mouse a lot, but, you know, we all also play Xbox a lot. So it's kind of something for you to be saying if, you know, this is something way cool and totally different.
Well, I think it is a really good way to control. I mean, it was just very intuitive, mm-hmm. and it almost didn't take any time to pick up. I'm still a big fan of the mouse, and I think the mouse is the best way to go. Of course, nobody's going to put a mouse with their system. I mean, even Microsoft, which you can hook a mouse right up to the front, they still don't support it. They don't want a computer in the living room, I guess. But I think that the touchscreen is really nice to control. And I'd like to see even basic controls in any game for the DS. I think that'd be nice. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it'd be cool if, like, you know, your DS was also an extra controller, so you didn't have to go out and buy another controller.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we would both love to talk about this forever, but unfortunately we should move on, talk about the announcements, and then continue on to our different segments.
Let's see. These are just a few announcements that have happened in the past month or two, just to kind of bring things up to speed a little bit. March 23rd, Nintendo announced that Sega and them have signed a deal to allow all Sega Genesis games, or some of the Sega Genesis games, to be on the whole Nintendo download system for the Revolution. Again, I'm not sure if we're going to have to pay for these. I would assume we would. And they haven't really said anything on other systems from Sega, like the Sega
Dreamcast.
Other stuff. Dreamcast and stuff, or the handheld systems, or anything
Who
like that.
Who had a Dreamcast? Come on.
Nobody, but they had a couple games for them. I think that was the thing. They each had, like, one good game, and I would like to see, like, all their good games from all their systems. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just not part of the licensing or whatever. Mm-hmm. April 13th, Red Steel officially announced from Ubisoft. This game's a little bit outside of Nintendo's usual stuff. It's kind of like a
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, a Grand Theft Auto game. A lot of, you know, on the street looking stuff from what I've seen on screenshots.
Is it mature audience? Do you know? I mean, you know, Nintendo has kind of just put itself in this realm of family games. You know, most people can play most of their games. Is it that hardcore or?
I think it might be mature. I don't think the rating's out yet, but from what I've seen of the screenshots, it looks pretty mature. I think it'll use gyroscopic controls. They haven't really announced that yet either.
Ubisoft CEO quoted saying that the Revolution is a magical platform.
That's kind of showing that some of these software giants are interested in the uniqueness of this system. I think that it has a lot of potential just from Nintendo's past. It's different than the same old, you know, dual analog stick,
right.
You know, D-pad and some four buttons by your thumb. You know, that's what everybody does. That's what everybody did again. They have better graphics now, but when it comes down to it, you're holding the same thing. It's just wireless with better graphics. And I think Nintendo went a little bit off the beaten path. And I think that's paid off in the past, especially with the DS. Now it's really coming up to speed with all the stuff that's coming out for the DS too, but the last announcement is April 19th at E3. They showed their flight game. They haven't had a name for that yet, but it's going to use the gyroscopic controlling, probably as like a joystick, which will be kind of cool. You'll just hold it there and, you know, turn your hand when you want to turn or whatever. They said it was interesting. There weren't any really screenshots for that or anything, but from what I read, it was okay.
All right, let's get away from consoles for a little bit and talk, you know, about the handhelds. I want to talk a little bit about Nintendo Wi-Fi. I've been to their website a lot recently. They have the websites up for many different countries across the world. of course, I go to, you know, Nintendo North America, and they have gaming hubs for Metroid Prime Hunters, Tetris DS, Animal Crossing, Tony Hawk, oh, and Mario Kart. I don't know why I didn't put that on my list, but of course Mario Kart. And Lost Magic, which is coming up soon. I don't really know a lot about Lost Magic. I'm assuming it's sort of an RPG, but I haven't really gotten the time to fill myself in on what it is exactly. But I have Tetris DS, and I have Mario Kart DS, and I do go to their stat sites often. I'm more of a Tetris person, and I've kind of seen lately, and, you know, maybe in the past 2 weeks, that their stats aren't always up. I play a lot, and I don't really ever see my name listed anywhere. I don't know if you guys have that problem.
I don't see my name either, but that's because I don't play very much. But from looking around it, I'm kind of surprised there's no search. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would think that you'd just be able to search for the name. And this also brings up the other issue of, like, you know, no set gamer tag. You can always just change your name. Which one name do you search? Which, you know, does it keep your old name stats?
No. Well,
does it always just change it?
I mean, you're quasi-connected because you if you have, like, a Nintendo.com logon ID, then you can link your Nintendo Wi-Fi ID, which is a unique number, and it associates your DS and your stats with that logon name. And you can change your nickname, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I guess it's a good thing because, you know, I don't want to be locked into some name, and I don't want to have to end up with a name that has, like, 12 numbers next to it because, you know, Anne is taken. I'd rather it be, you know, like, I have that, but...
But on that same note, like, you can't really look, like, you can't look anybody up. You can't look up your friend. You can't look up really anybody
thing.
Like that.
I don't really like how you friend people because you can't friend people when you're playing these games. Like, you literally have to call someone on the phone that you physically know and say, hey, can you tell me this, you know, 6 or 8 digit number that's on your DS so that you can be on my friend's roster. I only have one friend on my friend roster. He's never online. He doesn't play with me. So I spend my time doing the worldwide matches, which is fine. But I do want to also say that, you know, Nintendo Wi-Fi, I'm sure it'll get better in the future. And, you know, it's kind of in a, you know, they're probably more concerned with making sure the games are all up and running and dealing with that kind of issues. But as far as, like, your personalized stats, you don't get a lot out of it. You know, it doesn't, like, as far as if you ever played Halo, you can go to, like, Bungie and you can, you know, see all the games you've ever played. You can, like, see your ratings in the various games and you can see, like, you know, you can see all the games you've ever played, but I would like, you know, maybe the last 10 games that I played, or something like that.
Right.
Recent people, I'd like to be able to friend them, maybe friend them, find out their ID online, and then put it on there. That's fine. You know, if that's easier for Nintendo, that's fine with me. I'd just like a way to do it.
Yeah, or friend them in-game.
Right.
Like, you know, like if you play with somebody a lot, and they seem like they're pretty cool, you can't really even chat with these people at all.
You can chat with people on one of the games. I'm not sure which one it is. It might be Metroid, but that's not that. I'm not positive about that.
Yeah, I think that it has some work. I mean, it's a free service, so on some notes you can't be all, well, geez, this is, you know, I'm paying for this. But I mean, you did pay for the system in the game.
You know, you mentioned briefly the DS download station earlier. I actually went to one and I downloaded the Brain Age trial. I was going to download the Metroid video, but then I found out, you know, once you turn your DS off, it's all gone, and I wasn't going to sit at Game Crazy all night. As far as where we live, the only two different retail locations that have it are Best Buy and Game Crazy. The Best Buy by my house doesn't have it yet. The Game Crazy by my house, they said it was down when I went to try to do it, so I had to kind of drive like 10, 15 minutes to go do it. So if you're going to do that, I would recommend you call different places. Nintendo has a website, but make sure you call the actual location because people have been having complications with it, and you want to make sure that you get it right and that you can do what you want to do. I've kind of exhausted the Nintendo Wi-Fi, so I'll go ahead and give you the upcoming releases just for GameCube and Nintendo DS. Of course, Brain Age came out April 18th. That was Tuesday of this week, and some other big games that I found interesting. The new Super Mario Bros. 4 DS has a date. It's May 15th. A lot of people have said that the DS Lite, which we'll kind of talk about in a little bit, is going to be released in the United States along with that new Mario game to kind of boost the sales and to give it a reason to be released. So we'll keep you guys updated on that. And then the other one was Big Brain Academy, and that's June 5th, and it's funny because I have Tetris DS, like I said, and in it, it has, like, you know, if you like Tetris DS, you'll love these games. And there's Brain Age, and then there's Big Brain Academy. And it said that Brain Age would be April, and Big Brain Academy would be May. Now, they pushed Big Brain Academy back, and it's June 5th, which is the beginning of June, but I'm kind of surprised as to why they're doing that.
Yeah, I've never played a demo of Big Brain or anything like that, but I can't imagine that it's super complicated. I mean, it's a quiz game or whatever, so there's not going to be intensive graphics on there. 2D, I would assume, for most of the things. I think they managed to make the Doctor 3D in Brain Age, but everything else, it's a lot of type recognition. But, you know, other than that, there's not a whole lot to it as far as code complexity goes.
Okay, as far as the GameCube games, I just have four on my list, two of which are very tentative. The first one has been released. It was released, I believe, March 28th or 29th in the United States, and that's just a game I'm highly interested in, and I know there are a lot of hardcore fans out there, but it's Harvest Moon Magical Melody. I bought it. I haven't actually opened it yet, but I've read a lot of reviews, and especially reviews from, like, Nintendo Power, and they're saying, you know, it's a return to the real Harvest Moon, nothing like A Wonderful Life. That's great, in my opinion, but I'm looking forward to playing that and letting you guys know what it's about. The next thing is Odama, which was released, I guess, last week, April 10th or 11th, and I haven't played this. I don't own it. I don't know much about it, except it's like a pinball warrior game, and you use a microphone. I read an article about it, and they kind of said it's like nothing you've ever played before. You know, you tell your army men to move around and do crazy things, and they, when they get run over by a ball, they, like, scream and shout and stuff like that. So, I'm not really going to play that one, I don't think, but, you know, if I see it in a store, I'll check it out. Not much, you know, there's a lot of GameCube games out there, and a lot of them that are going to come out, but there's an X-Men game coming out in May, probably somewhere around when the next X-Men movie's coming out. I don't know when that's coming out. Do you?
I believe that's next. Oh, no, it is this summer, May something.
Okay. And then...
I can check it.
Then there's Zelda Twilight Princess. Now, this could be my imagination, but they put off Zelda all the time. I remember, you know, back in, like, September, October, November, reading that they were going to have a new Zelda out in April, and I'm not exactly sure where that's going. I've seen some, you know, pre-order now for the new Zelda game, and, you know, you can do that at, like, Best Buy and Toys R Us, etc., but I don't think they have a definitive date. I haven't seen it on the shelf. Haven't heard too much about that. Not surprised, though. That's about it for GameCube games. I guess we'll move on to the game of the week. And, of course, it's going to be Brain Age because it just came out. I've been very excited about this game for a while since I read the little flyer in my Tetris DS pamphlets or whatever. And one of the good things about it is it's not $34.99 like the other DS games. It's only $20, $19.99. And I guess that can be attributed to the fact that it doesn't have Wi-Fi. It's not super graphics intensive. It's not a really deep game. I mean, it contains a lot of information. It can keep lots of records as to how your progress is and those kinds of things. And, you know, you unlock certain things. And it has all those Sudoku puzzles. But, you know, as far as, like, a deep, deep game, that's not what it is. Or that's not what it's been made to do. You know, as far as, like, specs go, there's 4 training files that you can open. And it's kind of cool because the more training files you have, like, you guys can, like, compare different things to each other, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You can connect it with the proprietary Nintendo wireless. You can't connect it to Wi-Fi, but you can connect with up to 16 players, you know, if you're all sitting in a room, and you don't have to have a DS. If you don't have a DS, if you don't have Brain Age, you can still play the game. You can actually send a trial version, which was found in the Nintendo Wi-Fi download station or whatever, and you can send that to people. That's called the quick mode.
Yeah, it's quick mode. It's just basic stuff.
And then other than that, you can challenge your friends with calculations times 30, which is 30 multiplication, addition, and subtraction questions, and see who's the best and who's the brightest. So, you know, as far as what's in the game, I guess we can start with training. When you first begin training, you know, you do your Brain Age, and you can either do a spoken Brain Age test, or more of like a written, I guess you would call it, Brain Age test if you're in an area where you can't speak. I would recommend in the beginning probably doing the speaking one because it's a lot quicker. It's not as hard, and you're less likely to mess up as far as, like, you know, if you don't say the color correctly, it might mess up, but doubtful. Like, with the stylus, there's a lot more room for error, and some of the tests, like the word memorization, I find to be a lot harder than, you know, other things, like on the strip test. It's just...
Right, and be sure that you keep that mic 6 to 8 inches away from your mouth. Getting your mouth closer to it doesn't help. It actually hurts your accuracy.
They say to, like, hold it, like, a foot away from your mouth, yeah. And I find that interesting because I, you know, I'm trained to believe that it can't hear me, but really it just can't understand what I'm saying.
Right, it's just getting a bunch of feedback when it's close to your mouth, and that's all. I don't know what you're saying, but yeah, just keep it a distance from your mouth, and if it's not working, move it further from your mouth.
Yeah, don't get discouraged either. And if you, like, are in the middle of, like, doing your brain age and you're like, I've said blue 5 times and it does not know what I'm saying and that's the color, turn it off and
press start.
Oh, press start. I didn't know that. What does start do?
Start just exits the
really? Does Dr. K say anything about it? Is he just like, oh, you quit?
Yeah, he mentioned that one time. I think he sneezed and mentioned
Oh, I see. That's funny. Okay. So, after you do your brain age, it'll say, you know, blah, 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 this is your brain age, you're really old, even though you're only 20 or whatever. And, you know, then there'll be a calendar, and they do ask you at the beginning of the game to ensure that the time's correct, and then they ask for your birthday and that kind of thing, which I find pretty cool, and I did have to adjust my clock by, like, 2 minutes. But then you'll get into training. When you first start on your first day, there's 3 training activities. There's calculations times 20, calculations times 100, and then reading aloud. And I'll go into those in a minute. Other just basic facts about it. The more you play, the more that's going to happen. Dr. K will give you tips and tricks daily. Training modes will unlock. Certain things will unlock in the options. Like, you'll be able to, like, draw your own stamp, kind of like how you can draw your own picture from Mario Kart DS, that kind of thing. If you're in the menu, the main menu, try saying glasses, and see what happens to Dr. K. It's pretty interesting. You can, of course, change your signature, and that's kind of cool. Dr. K also randomly asks you questions that you're supposed to, you know, you answer them like, hey, what'd you have for dinner last night? So you answer him, you know, you're like, I had a taco. And then, like, in maybe a week or so or a couple days, he'll be like, what did you have last Thursday? And, you know, it's kind of like a memory test to see where you're going. I'm not saying
I didn't realize
really
try
hard
that.
Or write it down. You know, I'm sorry to give that away. It's in the book, so it's not like a big secret. But it does tell you that it's like a memory thing. But don't, you know, actively try to memorize those kinds of things, because that kind of takes away from the game. Just see how, you know, good your brain actually is. And I think that that's an important fact. And I do like that it only records your first training on each day of each different training thing. Because otherwise, you know, I could spend 30 minutes trying to get really fast at the calculations, but instead, you know, he's like, once a day, that's it, kid. You know, you can play for fun, but that's about it. He also, and this is the thing that I like a lot, and I'm not sure if you like it, but when he asks you to draw different things, and then at the end, like, when everybody's drawn them on your DS, like, every file has, then you can compare them, and I just think they're insanely funny.
Yeah, I think that's a cool feature. Like, a lot of those things are hard to draw anyway, but what's funny is the things that are easiest to draw, like continents and countries, come out the worst. Yeah. they're always messed up.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, my Madagascar. That's all I have to say about that. You know, other than that, I think it's a really cool game. I'm excited to learn more about it. I wish that I could do a little more each day as far as the training goes. I kind of feel like I pick up the DS for 10 minutes and then I'm done. But then again, there is Sudoku on there, and I have kind of, I never really played it before I had the DS. I was kind of like, oh, it's this, you know, hippie trend that everybody does on the airplanes or whatever, but it's fun to play. I really like how they do it on the DS, and in that game, I totally appreciate how it's done. And I'll talk to you guys about the different types of that. But, Josh, do you want to talk to them about, like, the different training games?
There's the math ones, which are pretty simple. Math times 20, math times 100. Those are just quick. But, you know, sometimes I find them, you know, a little bit hard. Maybe I'm just not good with certain multiplication tables, but...
For 2 days in a row, I have missed what 7 times 6 is. I always put 43. It's not 43. Really. What is it? 41?
It's 42.
It's 42. Wow. Okay.
Some of the 9 ones I mess up, like 7 times 9, but what? No big deal. Like, I'm always like, my problem is that I just figure that there's no way they'd ask me that hard of a question, and I'm like, with the 100, I will mention this, it tells you your progress as you go through, and that just throws me off personally, like, it's all...
Oh, when it does, like, yeah. You've completed 50 and it deems?
Yeah. By the way, you've completed 50, yeah. And I'm, like, trying to think here really fast. I'm always, the answer 50? No, it's not 50. Reading aloud, kind of a... just an honesty one. You just have to read it to yourself out loud. You could just click next 4 times and win.
No, don't do that. That wouldn't be fair. You know, it doesn't record your voice. It doesn't have anything to do with your voice. It's supposed to be you reading pages out loud, and you click next when you've completed the pages. And it's just supposed to show you how fast you're reading, and at the end it gives, like, a readout of your syllables per second.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
which I have the high score in. And
low to high.
Oh, I love this.
I had to turn off the sound and cover the countdown to be able to play it efficiently. The sound and countdown would confuse me up to the point where the numbers came up. By the time I realized they were numbers, they were gone. But once I covered up that countdown, I did pretty good. I think it's pretty cool. A little hard, but fun still. Definitely a challenge. Syllable count tends to be a
difficult,
little sketchy.
Weird.
Like, sometimes they give a, like, I guess it's Dr. K's accent or whatever. He'll go ahead and, like,
I'm sure it's,
he's
like,
all
how they are
Caribbean,
in the dictionary, but...
And, like, you know, things that tend to have, like, original, you know?
Right, yeah. I didn't like that one at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, is that 3 or 4? Some of those words are a little bit sketchy. The 2s and 1s are pretty easy. I know a few times I just count them wrong.
Right.
But
well, I guess we should just kind of say what it is before you just bash it all over the place. You're given kind of like a sentence or so, and then, you know, you have as much time as you want, and you read it, and you can read out loud, or you can read it to yourself, or you can, like, hold your stylus up to the screen and be like, you know, every time. And
it's just every. That's 2. It's not every.
I know. I'm just saying. I apologize. But then at the end, you know, they say write down how many syllables, and then they go through the syllables and they count them, and then you either get a check mark or an X mark whether you're right or wrong.
So that one doesn't time you?
I don't think so. No, I think it's just an exercise in how you pronounce words and how you see them. I don't think that there's any real timing involved. I think it's just like kind of like low to high. It's not timed. You sort of get like a number of chances to do something, and you can progress each time. Like in low to high, you start off with like 4 numbers to memorize, and then you go up to 5, and then you see how many you can do. I don't think it really has anything much to do with time at all.
Right. Well, low to high, I mean, you kind of have to do it fast, otherwise you forget. But yeah, I didn't realize that syllable wasn't timed. I was a little pressured there.
There are 4 games, that training games, that we haven't unlocked yet, and that's triangle count, time lapse, voice calculation, and head count. And they're all listed in the booklet, so it shouldn't be a surprise to you guys. And I don't feel like I'm giving away any information. But I looked at triangle count, and it's kind of interesting. Like, the example they showed, they have, like, an 8, a 7, and a 6, and then they have a plus between the 6 and the 8 on the next line, and between the 7 and the 6. And so you're adding, like, 2 numbers together, or you're doing whatever operation with the 2 numbers on the left and then the 2 numbers on the right. Of course, there's 3 numbers on the top. And then you'll get down, so you'll have the 3, and it's like a reverse pyramid, like a triangle. So then you'll have 2 numbers on the next line, and then you'll do whatever operation, add or subtract them, and, you know, somehow you magically come up with a number, and you see if it's right or wrong, and it tells you. I don't know if that's time, necessarily, or not. And I guess it's time lapse. Once again, I don't know if this one's timed. I would assume maybe. I could see
it. I would go with it as timed, yeah.
But you're shown, like, 2 analog clocks, of course, and you have to find the time difference. It's broken down by hour and minute, I believe. And then, you know, it's like, hey, you're right or wrong, you're off by so many minutes. Next is voice calculation. It's like a takeoff from the calculations times 20, calculations times 100, except, you know, there's like 5 minus 4 is listed, and you have to physically say the number of the solution. And I'm interested in how that's going to work and how good or bad it's going to be. It's been pretty good with the colors for me on the strip test.
Right. But those are such unique words that it's not that hard to...
Right.
To code the difference between them, like 44, 45, 23, 5, 9. Do I have to say 9? You know, I'm not sure how well that's gonna come out. But again, we haven't played it yet, so I can't bash it yet.
The last one that I'm assuming gets open, I'm assuming these are opened in order, because in the booklet they're listed like that, and that's how they've unlocked for me, is Headcount. And you just watch a bunch of people go in and out of a house and keep track of how many are in there, and then the very end, it's like how many people are still in the house, and you're like 7. And I don't know if you do this more than once, probably, and, you know, it's probably not going to be time, because it's just going to take however much time for 20 people to go inside and out of this house. So that's that.
That sounds pretty cool. We already talked about Quick Play.
We talked about Quick Play. We didn't really talk about the Unspoken Brain Age, ways that there's...
You were talking about that. Yeah, go talk about how, like, you can change the unspoken stuff.
Right. Well, there is, like, another tip, and, you know, Dr. K says this. He hasn't actually said this to me, but he said to me, hey, push select when you go to graphs, and if you do that, you get, like, the top 3 lists of, like, the brain age, and, like, I think for each training, but I'm not positive. I'll go back and look at that. But if you push select, when you click on brain age, it'll also get you to a secret menu, and you can pick 3 different brain age testing devices to calculate your brain age. I guess the 3 you feel most comfortable with. And I think there are, like, 5. There's the spoken strip test, which is where you're given a word, a color, like yellow, and then it is a color as in red, and you have to say the color that it physically is, not the word. There's math times 20, I think, is what, or the calculation times 20, which it tests. There's word memorization, which, as I said earlier, is really tough. There's Josh's favorite, the word, the number maze, the letter connect, what's it called?
Right, I think it's number maze. I can't do it.
And then there's, like, the one where you, like, let me find it. There's speed counting, which I do like, and that is just, it's like, it says to you, hey, count from 1 to 120, enunciate. It doesn't, like, you know, record the numbers or anything like that. You just do it, and you're on an honor system to say them out loud, and then when you're done, you tap done. The number maze thing is actually called the connect maze. Then there's number cruncher, which is kind of like a takeoff of the strip test, but you don't have to speak. And it asks various questions like how many red numbers are there and, you know, how many are pulsating,
rotating,
sliding, you know, that kind of thing. And that's pretty much that. So, overall, what rating would you give this game so far? Would you call it a game?
I'd call it a game. I'm going to give it a good game. A rating of good.
Rating of good.
A rating of good on a scale of bad to super duper good.
Yeah, okay. I would say I really like it. I'm a sucker for these kind of things. I wish it were a little more addictive. The Sudoku is kind of addictive, but I wish there were more playtime. But overall, you know, I give it my thumbs up, my approval. I would tell you to go buy it. Right. It's a good deal for the money, for the amount of money it costs.
Right. It's definitely a fun one to have. I agree that it's not kind of like Tetris where you can just play it for hours. And on that note, it kind of almost requires you to have another game with you,
right.
Which is a solution that I'm still working on.
Oh, keep us in touch with that. Our next segment, I guess you can call it, is like our addictions, just sort of reminiscing about current games. In the past, like the past 6 months, my one game that I was obsessed with was WarioWare and WarioWare Touch. I don't have WarioWare Twisted, and I'm not going to get into the reasons why I don't have that yet, but I don't have it yet, although I have noticed that it's gone down in price recently. I really love these games. I love the mini games. WarioWare came out a long time ago, like a couple years ago, maybe like 2. And when it came out, you know, it's like micro games, Wario, and it didn't really say much. And I didn't get it because I was like, oh, well, it's not a real game. But I played WarioWare Touched in the stores before I had a DS. I got a DS like a year after DS came out. I know that's bad, but I played WarioWare Touched. I loved it, so I got WarioWare for the GBA. And I absolutely adored it. You played that, right?
Right.
And I, you know, it's good for...
you just had that thing for the GameCube that you can play GBA games on.
Oh, yeah, I have... He's talking about the Game Boy Player or whatever. But, and then I got WarioWare Touch when I got my DS. That was actually the first game I bought. My DS is the Nintendogs Light Blue Edition with Nintendogs Best Friends. The first game I actually physically bought was WarioWare Touched, and of course I played it to death, and I tried to unlock everything. I kind of didn't like the little, like, widgets that you would unlock and get. Like, some of them were cool, like the calculator, but some of them just make, like, no sense at all, like the party favor blower and some other things, but...
Well, there was a few cool, like, whistle ones, wasn't there?
Yeah, like, there was the piano, that blow instrument. The harmonica.
Yeah, the harmonica was pretty cool.
But, like, some, like, the clackers, you know, those are kind of all... The bubble blower.
Right.
There's, like, 30 of them, but... And, of course, I have all of them, but, you know, I love the game. I'm going to give it a thumbs up, of course, and I was obsessed with it for a really long time, and I would really, literally stay up trying to unlock everything and get, like, triple stars or whatever the thing was on everything and get the high scores. So, that was pretty cool. I guess, you know, we're almost done. Kind of, you know, give maybe 5 or 10 minutes to talk about some older games, especially for, like, NES, SNES, Nintendo 64, that everybody really loves. It's kind of become cult classics. And this week, what are we talking about?
Mario Kart. Just in general, I think Super Mario Kart, but for SNES. I like this game a lot. I liked it better than the one for N64. I played DS one a little, and it was cool. But I mean, I just kind of, I never played the GameCube one. I did play the, again, I grew up on the NES one, and it was fun.
It wasn't on NES. It was on Super NES.
Super NES, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I had a lot of fun.
I know you're a little bit older than me, but when it was on Super Nintendo, I thought it was extremely difficult, especially when I went to Nintendo 64, and I came back to Super Nintendo when I was older. Much more difficult for me to win. It's really interesting. I'm glad they brought some of the tracks back on Mario Kart DS. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I think that that's, like, when the Revolution comes out, I'm not sure they're going to allow you to, they're just going to give you every single one. I would hope that they'd kind of merge them or whatever. You know, a lot of people are kind of set for the old ones. Some of the new options, like on this one where you have to blow up your own balloons and stuff like that, which I found kind of interesting.
That was so weird. Like, I had to ask you, what am I supposed to do? I do want to say, also, this is just my reminisce of Super Mario Kart for Super Nintendo. Did you know the cheats, like, that you could hold down all the buttons and you could drive as, like, a tiny person?
I didn't know that?
Like, I'm not sure how it happened. I'm sure, like, we were just, like, punching all the buttons, but I still don't even know if there's, like, you push AAB down or something like that, but you can drive as, like, permanently shrunk, and my brother and I used to do that all the time, and it's not very good when you're playing against the computer, because when you're smaller, you're slower, but when you're playing against each other, it's a fun time. I really like that, and I think it's cool. I think they should have more stuff like that. My personal favorite Mario Kart is probably Mario Kart 64. I like the GameCube one a lot. I especially like the All Cup 16 race. I used to play that just nonstop while I was talking on the telephone, and I think that's good. I like more characters.
Is there a versus, like a multiplayer, for the DS where you can play against other people in the versus mode?
Like, again, if you have up to 16 friends who all have DSs, you can get together and you can race, and you can all have nicknames, and you can all race on tracks, and it'll give stats and stuff for you 16 people, and it can be in its races, and you can also do the battle, like in 64 version. Of course, you can verse each other up to 4 people, and you can battle, and the same thing with GameCube. But I think it's pretty cool that the new Mario Kart, you can play, you know, up to 16 friends. Gives a lot more open space as to, like, scoring and where you're going to be. I haven't done that yet.
But you could play Wi-Fi battle on the
DS. You can't play Wi-Fi battle, and I'm not sure why.
I think that'd be fun. Maybe it's a lag issue or something, but I think that'd be a fun time. I really enjoyed battle in
I'm not sure why they don't do that, because, like, you know, on Tetris DS, they have, like, the multiplayer battle, and then they, like, the 4-player battle, and then they have the 2-player, and so, you know, they have the option of having more than one game type. I don't know what they're going to do about that, though.
It is interesting, also, that with all this Wi-Fi capabilities and everything, they don't really upgrade their games at all. Like, they don't come up with a patch that allows you to do anything like that. I guess the Nintendo doesn't really have any, or the DS doesn't have physical memory on board, other than its clock and stuff.
I guess that about, you know, that's pretty much all we have to say for this week. I know it's kind of been a long cast, but next week we'll be back with more news, rumors, upcoming releases. Game of the week will probably be Tetris DS, so stay tuned for that, and we'll let you know. We'll play it this week, and give you feedback on that. We'll be back with talking about more of our addictions to games, and hopefully we'll talk about another old game that everybody loves and isn't played enough anymore. So that's about it. You have anything else to say?
No.
All right. Well,
we're saying bye.